Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the Knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello out there, and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude, a podcast for all things nerd. I am here in the Technodrome, deep down underneath the Earth's core. I'm here on Skype with...
I belong in a museum, Sam.
didn't think of something to come up with, sorry.
Ebola John.
Yeah, okay.
And this is Dr. Chris.
All right. Oh, God. So Chris is previewing our next topic, which will be next week, which is the third installment of the Fast and Furious franchise, but not
we'll
this week.
Drifting into it next week.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Anyways, this week we're doing another con classic. For those who've been listening from the beginning, this is our second time. Last time we talked Jurassic Park, and to kind of continue the trend, we're going with another Spielberg classic, which is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. So this released in 1989, like I said, directed by Spielberg, brings the powerhouse of Harrison Ford and Sean Connery into the same movie. I mean, come on. How can you beat that?
Let's step back for a second. We will not only be doing Steven Spielberg movies.
No, yeah, we will not. I
think this is just, it happened to fall into the first two that we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, the trilogy, third movie in the trilogy, if I'm not mistaken. Or yes. Quad.
No, it's definitely just a trilogy. Totally just a trilogy.
Yeah. Crystal Skull is just a disaster of a movie, but...
I wouldn't even call it a movie.
Yeah, so we're not even going to factor that in, but I think Last Crusade is for most people, the best, probably either the first or the second of the Indiana Jones movies, according to individual rankings. But I think in our case, I think since we chose to do it, I think Last Crusade is probably all our number ones.
It's definitely my number one.
If I'm not mistaken.
Do we want to reveal that now? I don't care. It's not for me.
Well, there's a reason why we're doing. There's a reason why we're doing it now.
John, which one's your favorite?
Okay, Temple of Doom. No, I mean Raiders.
Okay,
it's 1-2. Like, there's no other acceptable answer for 1-2, right?
Yeah. No. No. I think Temple of Doom was just a disaster.
No, it's not a disaster.
Temple of Doom's all right.
It's okay.
I hated Temple of Doom.
I definitely remember being a disaster as a kid, but I'll tell you, like, as time goes on, Temple of Doom's pretty good. Temple of Doom is much better than you remember it being.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, anyway, sticking with this movie, we're going to, like always, we're going to stick with kind of the set questions that we have for all the classics. But first, we always start off with the general stats of the movie and how it is kind of ranked among viewers and critics, and how it did at the box office. If you have those numbers, Sean.
I do have the numbers in front of me. So just to run through people's ratings. So on IMDb, fans gave it an 8.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gives it an 88%, making it certified fresh. And Metacritic, little negative on this, I guess. They're sitting at 65%.
It's definitely an outlier.
Yeah, that's odd that the others are giving it basically a B- to a B+, and they gave it a D.
I mean, I kind of get that, because this one's a bit more campy and silly than, like, Raiders.
Now, if we were giving this, because we have a meta review account, so
Do we want to give our review so early?
No, but I don't think it would be 65. Would any of you guys?
No, I would not give this a D.
Oh, I would not be a 65.
No, I'd definitely be over a 65. I'd be somewhere in the 80 range.
Yeah, I'd probably put it somewhere low 80s.
Yeah. All right. I just wanted to say, we're not going to rate it, but I just wanted to
I mean, we
say
did,
that we're not really in that.
We rated Jurassic Park, so I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I can see critics being down on this one.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you have a box office number or no?
I do. It was actually the second highest movie of 1989.
Okay. That's a good comparison. What was number one, just out of?
Batman.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Batman was a huge hit. Like, and so Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade made $197 million in the box office, which is nothing compared to today's numbers.
No, but in 1989, inflation
no, that was
a
big.
Story.
That was big. Oh, yeah. No, that was big. That was big. Whereas Batman made $251 million. So, okay. Rounding out the top five, Lethal Weapon with 147. Well, sorry, Lethal Weapon 2 with 147. Rain Man, 140. And Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with 131 million.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Rain Man was that big at the box office?
Apparently.
Rain Man was big back at the box office, but afterwards, people realized it wasn't really that good.
It's pretty good. I thought it was pretty good.
You like Rain Man?
It's kind of hacky.
Anyway, we're not reviewing Rayman. So now that
Why
we have the
not?
Numbers, maybe we will. I don't know if it makes a con classic.
To give you an idea,
a con super classic. Yeah.
To go back to a previous point. So with that Metascore of 65 for Last Crusade, Raiders of the Lost Ark Metascore is an 85. So it's a 20-point difference between the two.
You also have to factor in that. Crusade is the third one.
Yeah.
And critics usually get tired.
Well, they gave
series.
Temple of 58.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't that great.
Right.
What was Raiders?
Raiders of the Lost Ark was 85.
Okay.
Like, Raiders is something fresh, it's new, so critics will be, like, excited for it. And then once they start making more, they get annoyed with it.
I think our numbers are probably a little skewed as well, only because we can watch all three movies succinct. Technically, you can watch all four in a row.
Oh, so Young you count Young Sherlock Holmes, not Sherlock, Young Indiana Jones as a movie? Good to know. It was a TV
Crystal
show.
Skull?
I'm not. I will never include that in this.
Sean, it is a fourth movie.
No,
so
it does not exist.
I'm saying technically you can watch four movies in a row in one day instead of spanning it out for, what was it, four and a half years?
What?
When was the first one?
First one was 81.
Yeah, so 8 years. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Let's
moving
move on from that. So, as always with Con Classics, we're going to adjust the format here a little bit. Only we're going to remove one question because we didn't see this movie when it first came out. Some of us, were we all born?
No.
Nope.
Half of us were born.
Half of us were born at the time. And if that's any indication, we're clearly.
And I don't think 3-year old me would understand this movie, so.
Yeah, at 4, I don't think I was really caring too much about, you know.
Give it three, four more years, and I was like, dinosaurs, that's awesome. So
yeah, right.
You know.
Anyway, so we're gonna remove that question, how it impacted this when it first came out, but we're gonna stick with the basic format. So, what impact has this movie made on you specifically? I think this is a Sam question first. The history buff of the group, you know, this is the most historically accurate movie ever. So,
I mean,
it was not
almost
alone. It was not alone in doing this, but it definitely helped feed into it. It's just my love of history, because this made archaeology so cool.
Oh God,
yeah.
I think I saw this one first. I think this may have been the first one I saw. I think I saw
like
this
a thing that would happen.
That's a good question. did you guys actually watch this trilogy in order?
No.
I don't think I did.
I watched it the other way. I watched the second one first, and the first one second.
Sam, I might have seen this first, too.
I think everyone has.
No, I saw the second one first.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure the order for me was the third one, the first one, and then the second one.
Yeah. I remember, like, trying to watch the second one, but I was like, ew, heart getting ripped out. I don't want to watch this. This is scary. So,
yes. That's not good kid material.
Yeah. So, I kind of stayed away from the second one for the most part. This one was just fun. I mean, you had the Nazis again, and like,
I know you're so happy to see the Nazis.
Yeah, right.
But you are though.
Yeah, it's like this series, it has to understand it's bread and butter is Nazis.
Yeah. It really is. Not Russians.
Not Russians. Not some weird Indian cult. No, Nazis.
Or interdimensional beings.
Oh, God. Let's not even. Is it... I'm sorry, but just a little off topic. Did they confirm a fifth one yet?
Yes, they did.
They've been working on one. Yeah.
It is confirmed. It's happening.
It got pushed back a year, though, with, everything.
Is Shia LaBeouf attached to the fifth one?
I don't know, but like I was thinking about this. I really want him to be, and really? Like, I want him to just like go for it,
right? Have you seen him? He kind of did like a nice turnaround from being a mess to kind of having it together.
I'm kind of interested in seeing the two movies that came out last year with it.
Oh, is it the Honey
Butter Falcon?
Yeah, and Honey Boy.
Honey Boy.
He wasn't bad in what was the tank movie? Fury. He wasn't bad in that at all either.
Mm.
It's just his life, his personal life, just went downhill.
He just had to get the crazy out. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
but I think in another way to get back on topic, and another way this has affected me. Is this just made me love that sort of style of like the interwar period where it's sort of like those like campy pulp stories like this, Rocketeer? That's another one that's kind of like that.
Flash Gordon.
Yeah, those kinds of things where it's like there's just something about those that's just so much fun to me.
Yeah, no, I get you. I get you. I guess I'll go next. Okay. Last time. So what this movie meant to me is that simplicity can win you things. So at the end, you know how they choose. I guess this is the only thing that really sticks out to me is the at the end how they're choosing all the cups and stuff.
That's the cup of the carpenter.
It's the cup of the carpenter. Is simply just made out of wood. It's a wood cup that's painted gold. That's it.
Yeah.
That's plastic, Sean. That's
what are you talking about? Then. This is the Holy Grail. I'm holding the Holy Grail.
Sean's holding up a gold cup that's sawn in half.
It is Monty Python's Holy Grail, by the way. Oh, so anyway. If you press the button, it says quotes from the movie.
Anyway, this movie itself is aside from simplicity is great and can win you things. It's also, it's never trust an Austrian. Of all the things that you get out of this movie, it's just never trust an Austrian. I don't know why. It just has stuck with me since like 1995 when I saw this movie.
Just like Taylor Soldier Spy.
Yeah. So John, what impact has this movie had on you specifically?
I'm going to be honest with you. This question is very hard for this movie. Like, don't get me wrong. Really, I don't think it's the best or my favorite, but perhaps it's a sentimental favorite of the franchise, if that makes sense at all. I don't know. What did it mean for me? The first time I saw it, it's like, oh, look, it's Indiana Jones and James Bond. Because, like, frankly, I think probably at the time, like, the biggest corollary to James Bond was probably Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, American version. don't really have a better one than that. I mean, like, you know, obviously none of them made 15 movies. I think maybe today you could say it's Jason Bourne, but like,
that kind of like it had the makings of being the next James Bond, but it kind of, not that it crashed and burned, but like the fact that Matt Damon was like, and I'm done after two movies, like, kind of hurt it.
Yeah, but you look at the story of James Bond.
I know he came James back Bond. For a third movie, John, but
well,
he called it quits after.
It's fourth a third movie. And a fourth.
But. Fourth movie.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's sorry.
The so intensity the intensity of the Jason Bourne movies is just, you can't keep it up. James Bond is a little bit more slow-paced than that. We're getting a little off Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Sean?
I mean, For like an action war movie, I mean, this is one of my favorites, so it's always stuck with me with that. It's entertaining from beginning to end, and there's many bits of it that has stuck with me through the years, and I end up not quite quoting this movie a lot in everyday life, but like I reference this movie a lot more than I think I should.
I think this movie has the thing I reference the most and quote the most, which is, you chose
wisely. Yeah. Every time somebody does something and like messes up, I'm like, you chose poorly. Like every time, like because of this movie. So, yeah, I mean, and it's a great movie because you get to find out how Indiana Jones got his name.
Yeah, I'm not
also
going.
Learned what? That Yahweh spelt with a J at the front.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Not
when
a lot.
When I first saw this movie,
was it Jehovah?
It's Jehovah. It's Jehovah.
Yeah. Or is it?
Yeah. Not Yahweh.
But with a Y.
Jehovah is spelled with a Y.
Original Greek.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was Yahweh.
Oh boy. Am I the only Jehovah. One who watched this movie recently and still can't remember that?
To be fair, I just got internet back after almost a week, so I mean.
Yeah. What was I gonna say? When I first saw this movie, it had to have been late '90s or something, but or mid to late '90s. But I thought that that night at the end was a night out of Monty Python movie because yeah, I had this weird year where I binged every single old movie that I should have watched, and I think I watched Monty Python right before this one.
Yeah.
Or at least the quest for the Holy Grail, right before this one, oddly enough, you know. So,
you're binge watching 20 years ago. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, it was in the 90s, so it was 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, 10.
Are you saying that with a straight face? Because I say that all the time. With 1990s or 20 years ago, man.
But the movies I would have been watching are 10 years ago? Wait, yes. What? I'm missing it.
I think we're having like two different conversations here.
Well, I don't know. Chris has had a couple beverages.
You can say it. I've had a couple martinis. It's fine.
Well,
it's changing me. It's changing me mentally.
Now that we're off the concept of time, what the fuck are we even talking about?
Yeah, okay, so collectively, what about this movie withstands the test of time? It has to be the campiness, right?
Like campiness in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. I don't think
No, it's like it's having fun with it. It's not like too much. Like, you know, speaking of Chris watching old movies, I've been watching a bunch of old movies through this thing, and you forget just like how dumb some of these friggin' things are. Like, I was watching this one. Well, we don't have to go into it. But you're right. It's fun. It's like a throwback, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, is there anything more fun than that scene when Adolf Hitler signs the book?
Right? right? That's a great scene.
That's a great moment. Like,
I know. I just think it's the fact that every time somebody punches or slaps somebody, it's always the same. It's the same bang noise, you know? You're just waiting for that four-letter word to show up on the screen itself.
And it's like a solid bang, too.
It's not a weak one. Every punch is the same. It's never a different sound. You could be wearing a glove. You couldn't be wearing a glove. It's the same bang.
And this is the kind of place where Lucas's not very good dialogue actually fits.
Yes.
Yeah. It, like, it fits in with the campiness and the funness.
All of the dialogue between the Austrian Dr. Schneider and Indiana Jones and Brody are the worst dialogue lines I've ever seen in my entire life.
Can we just talk about this now then? Like, okay, is Demir's like the first, I don't know, 40, 50 minutes, because I rewatched part of it today, is the first like half hour, but like when they get to like the thing in Venice or whatever, like every single thing that moves along the plot is just somebody being like, oh yeah, like it's not.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It was in a rush to get to the whole adventure.
Right, yeah, like, everybody just, like, knows all this random stuff, like, Brody's, like, read, like Dr. Jones's, like, journal, like, 12 times over, so he knows exactly what's in it, like, it's just all, it's incredibly convenient, but it moves so fast, you really notice it.
From Venice, from the arrival of Venice to the, I guess, the kidnapping in the castle, where they're, like, tied together and they set it on fire. From there until there, it's just poor lines, poor execution. Let's just get from A to B. Let's have a sex scene. Let's have a chase scene. Let's just get it done and move on.
It's just trying to tick all the boxes as quickly as possible.
Right? It's like, this is James Bond. Let's just prove it in 30 minutes or less.
And let's get to that tank scene.
Yes. Which is an amazing scene.
That is amazing.
By the way, when he slapped him with the glove, the German slapped him with the glove. It was the punching sound from the rest of the movie. I watched it today. It's the same sound.
Oh boy. You know what's just funny though about the trilogy? And I'm just going to call it the trilogy.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's definitely like, if anything, I'll call it the original trilogy.
Okay.
The funny thing about it is like, it almost, I don't want to say learn the message or learn the lesson in Star Wars or whatever, but it did do the same thing where, like, the first and the third movies are very similar. And it's like, you know, George Lucas just being like, F it, man, just play the hits. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, let's just do Raiders, but then Sean Connery's a part of it.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, it's very, very, very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a similar story.
You bring back the Nazis, it's just this time it's like Indy's with his dad. Yeah.
Also, River Phoenix will be in this one.
In the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, it's a decent backdrop. It's a decent. You had to give it a little bit of.
I like that little interlude at the beginning.
Yeah, in the third. You're a third movie in and you have no history.
It was, like, really convenient how they're like, by the way, every question you've had about his past, even the scar on his chin, we're just going to answer now. Right. Like, when he whips and he gets the gash, I'm just,
oh man, it's so true.
It's
like, I never even put that together.
It really is a an excellent piece of cinema. I'm sorry, I can't say that with a straight face.
It's good. Look, to me, Raiders of the Lost Ark is like a perfect movie. Like, just, I can't find, like, a good critique. Like, maybe, you know, 40 years being passed, like, maybe some of it's, there's bits and pieces where it's culturally insensitive. But other than that, you know, probably a perfect movie. This one, I don't feel that way, but, like, I still love. Like, the soundtrack, too, like, where it's pretty much like 80% the same, but 20% different, just kind of like the movie.
Well, as is every trilogy, though, they have to have some form of, you know, music from the previous ones.
Right.
So, that said, what would you change?
What would I change?
I changed the actress. To make the lines flow a little bit better. If I was critiquing this movie, I'd say she needs a better delivery on the lines. It looks way too scripted. It needs to be a little bit more fluid.
Could you have gone with a better? Was there somebody better out there like than Julian Glover for like the ultimate bad guy?
I don't know. At the time, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think in my head quick here. I don't have a good one. But he was kind of just like, eh, it was fine.
Yeah. Great death scene.
Oh, phenomenal. Iconic.
It's like, you have the death scenes from the first one of the melting, and then you have this one. They're, like, really close to, like, how amazing they are.
This one's a little bit more utilized, I think, than the melting in the first one, yeah. The melting is a little bit graphic.
I'm with John on this one.
I don't know if there's a clear winner, Jimmy.
No, I agree. Like, they're both very graphic deaths and horrific deaths at the same time. And I like, they're both terrifying. As a young kid watching this, both of them were very terrifying.
Yeah, they're like legit scary movies for like a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will not be watching that at my house for a little while.
For like to change about this, the problem is that its flaws make it even more endearing to me. You know?
Yeah.
It's like those flaws, yeah, the dialogue's terrible. We really rush through the first act. But like at the same time I'm just like, yeah, but like do I really want any of that?
Yeah, like, let's take our time with the first act and make this a 4-hour movie. No, let's get it going. Like, come on, like I'm okay with it being quick.
That's not why I'm here.
Yeah,
right. Now the first act, honestly, I think I counted today, has multiple scenes where someone like closes a book and says, "I got it."
I can't think of anything else. The actor, the actress is my thing. I would change that.
That'd be a good pick.
Maybe change, like fix the tweak the dialogue, I guess, so it's not as like scripted. Like make it feel more organic. But I mean, other than
they
that,
should have used George Lucas's wife.
I'd adjust the punching sound just to make it not sound the same.
That's a very lazy Foley artist.
Yeah, I can't fault anybody. It was the 80s, but then again, it was the late 80s, so they could have fixed it.
But at the same time, that kind of gives that flair of that pulpy adventure story from like the 30s and 40s.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because they would in those things use the same sound over and over again.
Yeah, and they've used it throughout the whole three movies. So, yeah, you know, why change it? You know,
It kind of just lends to that though.
Like they did it for a purpose. It wasn't an accident that they did it. Like they wanted it to feel like it was a serial movie or a serial story from like the 30s. Like was it Flash Gordon or Prince of Space?
The Shadow.
Yes. With Billy Zane. That was a movie.
Billy Zane. Jesus. Yeah. Oh boy.
I don't know how that's one of those like random things that have stuck in my brain that Billy Zane was the Shadow in a failed 90s movie.
So
Alec Baldwin though?
Was it Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, Alec Baldwin was the Shadow.
Was he? Who was Billy Zane then? Billy Zane was definitely a superhero, like serial like story superhero. Man, now you're gonna make me look this up, Sam. God damn it. Yeah, so it is actually Billy Zane was not the Shadow. He was the Phantom, which you can obviously give me a break because Shadow and Phantom are basically the same thing. So
listen, neither one of them was Darkman.
That's true. Liam Neeson. Darkman. Anyways, back on topic. What were we talking about before we got on to the whole Shadow and Phantom talk? The Billy Zane talk?
I think we got on to the Shadow Phantom talk is an odd way of putting it.
Yeah.
And we were talking about pulpy adventures and stuff
like that. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're good. They're fun.
Was it good? Yeah, we're going on to our last set discussion before we get to the kind of offshoots.
Okay.
So is this an untouchable?
Yes.
Yeah.
100 times yes.
Yeah, I forget. When we say untouchable, like
remaking it,
do it or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I think you can still make Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah.
I think what I would prefer is them just like do like a modern iteration of them. Like maybe like Indy's like grandchild or something like that.
And like he's got a Palm Pilot and everything.
Yeah. But like something along those lines, I think you could still do the Indy series. You're not gonna do it with Harrison
no,
Ford.
But, no, but no, this no. movie though. Is this could you but remake this movie?
I
yeah.
No.
You don't touch these original three.
No.
I would agree. Say I don't care.
Really?
If you redid this in some story offshoot of this with different characters.
So you don't care that if, like, in 10 years they were like, Chris Pratt is now Indiana Jones, but we're rebooting the entire franchise?
Yeah.
They were like, Chris Pratt is Indiana Jones, but it's, like, a different iteration of Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's okay, but if they were like, we're redoing Raiders.
The first three are fine, and they're not touched. Like, you can just keep making Indiana Jones movies. They're like Bond movies.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep pumping these things out.
Yeah,
they should make like a fifth one that just starts like after three. Like do the oh yeah, don't worry about it.
like how they did with Halloween. Just be like,
bunch of stuff.
If they did a new Indiana Jones, Chris Pratt for you're using your example, but
right.
And they made an Indiana Jones movie again with a. The hell is it? Holy Grail? Mm-hmm. Why not? I'm not going to be opposed to it.
All right. Can we have this conversation then?
Yeah.
Who would it be?
Well, they've already set it up to Shia LaBeouf, and at this point, why not?
No, I don't think it's Shia. I think he's walked away.
You're teasing us this long.
He grabbed the hat at the end. I mean, come on.
But I wouldn't care if it's Shia LaBeouf.
I would care because at this point, maybe his career is in an uptick, but still not the kind of person I would hang my hat on to carry a franchise.
My only problem with Shia is he doesn't really have the suaveness,
No, he's not.
He's not. He doesn't have the coolness. He's like intense, you know.
He's not like at gentleman age yet. If that makes any sense. So he's not really a boy, but he's grown up.
Is Indiana Jones suave? I don't think he's suave.
He's certainly cool.
I mean he gets the ladies in all the movies.
With the ladies.
Yeah,
he's the good looking history teacher. He's a good looking history teacher.
So he's the high history teacher.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Glasses on? No, he's not suave. Glasses off? He's suave.
It's like Superman.
Yeah.
Well,
basically. Well, alright, so that would make sense. Or, like, at least make sense in, like, well, yeah, obviously Hollywood would take Chris Pratt. Like, I mean, he's practically Han Solo
in Guardians.
So why not just, finish it? Then he was in Jurassic Park 2 being essentially like the same kind of deal.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's Chris Pratt. Like
my only problem with Chris Pratt
what did I say?
He's a bit too silly of a...
but that's what the people want these days. They want like a sillier character, and that's the direction they would go.
You know, but like Indiana Jones is not like an everyman, though.
Yeah.
Are you sure? I think he's way more of an everyman than most action movie stars.
Oh, God, yeah. He gets hurt a lot more.
Yeah, but like, he's a different kind. He's, like, academic. He's kind of nerdy. Like, he's certainly not an everyman.
What would you guys feel about... And I want this guy to be James Bond first before anything else, but Idris Elba.
As Indiana Jones? I think he's too old.
Too old?
He is a bit old, but
He's not loose enough.
You're looking for somebody serious. in their late 30s.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, I still think him as Batman. All right, go
let
for
me
it.
Throw this one out. Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, he's like a good-looking guy. He kind of has that, got that, like, swagger about him.
You seen him naked? At a distance?
All right, let me throw one out there. Might have a negative reaction to this one at first, but actually I think it would be good. Adam Driver.
That's weird. Because
at first inclination I said no, but I'm trying to find a reason why not.
He already plays his son, so I mean...
It would be exactly the same.
Here's the thing. He could pull it off, but it would be weird at first.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Just 100%. Once Indiana comes out with that, like, deep voice that he has, I'm just like, ah.
Sorry, Marcus.
Oh, it's the one meta moment in Tokyo Drift right now. Sorry. little side note, but Sam's finished watching.
Tokyo Drift. Now we're never gonna be able to put this one on YouTube, Chris. This is like so much. Like, we gotta pay Vin Diesel, Paul Walker's estate, like a lot of people.
Vin Diesel and Paul Walker are not involved in this one.
That's true. Well, I mean,
Vin Diesel is in it.
Yes,
spoiler, Sam. Spoiler.
Oh yeah, I watched.
Wait, Paul Walker's not in 3 at all.
No. It's
wow.
In Tokyo. Obviously.
But why is Vin Diesel there? Vin Diesel there.
Don't worry about it.
Because he wanted to make the Riddick movies. But anyways, back on topic.
Yes, please.
But yeah, like Adam Driver, I think that's a unusual choice, but I think he could pull that off.
I think so too. Okay. I think he could pull it off, but it's still just weird because he just like the biggest role of his life was playing his son.
Like, oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Adam Driver.
Yeah, then he plays his son in the next one too. Yeah, that'd be great. And then they make some stupid fucking joke, like they're like hugging each other. It's like, hey, wasn't this weird?
Are they like standing on a bridge?
Right.
Yeah, it's like, I'm so happy you're not memory.
Anyways.
I mean, we laugh, but although, you know, Lucas didn't write those, so like I can't bitch him out for that.
All right. Yeah, so that does it. So 3 out of 4 of us think this is untouchable, so.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Indiana Jones is untouchable.
No,
like,
but this movie.
Keep making those? No, those are fun movies.
This, like, movie itself.
But the movie itself, you don't have to remake this.
Any of these three
no,
movies.
No, and I don't mean
any
in
of
the
them.
Sense that you remake it word for word for word for word.
No,
like,
but you remake
you know, episode
it.
7
yeah,
was.
But, like, you don't have to do this. Like, you don't have... There's so many other, like, mythical things you could go after. Hell, you can even just, like, make something up.
Yeah.
Like, just... You don't have to keep just going back to the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
You can even make something that's Grail-like, but it's not the Holy Grail.
Like, the arrow that poked Jesus' side. To go find that arrow.
It's a spear.
Or spear, sorry.
Spear.
I'm not religious.
Neither am I, and I knew it was a spear.
You knew it was a.
Did you remember
it was
a water
big pointy thing?
sorry.
So,
being probably the most religious out of all of us,
so
it's a little funny.
Yeah. All right, what are we talking about? Sorry.
All right, so I finished the standard set of questions that would be asked about a con classic.
Okay.
Okay, can I throw something out there?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Do you think this movie, but the series as a whole, if it came, like, 10 years later, would it be... And, like, Indiana Jones is, like, really, really big. I wouldn't call it, like, huge, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not... It doesn't... Exactly, have like the Star Wars cultural impact, or like
it's not tier one, but it's not like tier two. It's like tier 1A.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you think it would be bigger if it came out later? Or 10 or 20 years even?
To be honest, no. Because I think it would have been drowned out by that.
I'm probably
too smart for like 20 or 2009, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm with Sam on that one, because I think if you're talking early aughts, then it would be too CGI heavy and it would just be a disaster. But I think because it kind of rides on the coattails of the Star Wars movies, and Harrison Ford is a huge name.
Yeah.
As is Steven Spielberg and George Lucas and John Williams and all of them. It's kind of the gang. You know, it's kind of like the Scorsese gang, where no matter what you do, the movie's kind of gonna be good. So I think it does better in the 80s. I think it would do less better in the 90s, because I think it would be drowned out by all the action movies that are out there.
Yeah.
Because this movie, in itself, does struggle between comedy and action. It really does. It is a struggle between those two genres.
Yeah, but you have plenty of those movies in the 90s, though. Like, aren't they making, like, 20, like, Lethal Weapons and, like...
The first Lethal Weapon, I think, was in 89 as well.
No, second one was 89.
The second one was 89, so I think in the 90s it was Lethal Weapon 4, where you get the introduction to Chris Rock, and it just becomes this smorgasbord of comedy. And it's essentially a comedy movie. It's not really action, because you got Chris Rock, Jet Li,
and then Joe Pesci,
and then you have... Riggs and Murtaugh. I forget their names, obviously. Mel Gibson and Glover, right?
Denzel Glover?
No, Danny Glover. Is Danny Glover?
Yes. Danny Glover, yes.
Yeah. It's just, so you just get the smorgasbord. But the fourth one is clearly a comedy above the other three. The other three are just an action movie. And I think in the 90s, action movies are more or less overtaking those comedy action movies that the 80s were so filled with.
I don't know. I guess I feel like this kind of peaked culturally just on the cusp of, like, fandom for shit like this.
Yeah. I think it's... The problem it had... one of the things that was both its advantage and its problem is it came as the idea of franchises was just being born. And you didn't have a lot of high quality franchises. You had a lot of like low quality franchises where they just pump out just kind of low quality movies. You didn't have like franchises where there was a lot of investment into it, like you have with like a Star Wars or Indiana Jones. Whereas if you wait 10, 20 years, there's a whole bunch of those. And does this really stand out at that moment? Can that really capture people's attention?
Yeah. I agree. I think 80s was the perfect time. It was right before that whole cinema boom of, like, sequels. I mean, you did have, you know, Batman. You had the Alien franchise. I mean, there were sequels coming out. But for the most part, like, these indie sequels kind of felt like a rarity. Like, to see a character for a second or a third time, it was kind of rare. Because, like, everything was kind of a one and done. And it wasn't until, I would say, kind of around the Matrix kind of time that you really saw a huge boom in, like, sequels. Like, everything needed a sequel at that point. Like, oh, we got to make 2-3 movies of this. End every movie on a cliffhanger. Because we got to make more.
And so, does anybody know when the Matrix movie came out, by the way?
1997?
Was it 97? That was the first one?
Late 90s, I know that maybe. Much. I think it might have been 99.
It feels like it was so much later.
No.
20 years ago, man.
Yeah. Right.
I still didn't see that in theaters anyway, so whatever.
I've never been a fan of those movies, but that's moving on.
How do we get onto The Matrix?
Sorry.
Because
franchises.
Yeah,
right.
Like I said, around the time of the Matrix, that's really when the franchise boom happened, where everything had to be a franchise. Everything had to have a sequel. Like, it really started around 2000s. So, I mean, I think with Indiana Jones, if they it came out then, it would have been drowned out by all the other things. I mean, it would have taken, in this case, it was, what, 8 years to pump out three movies? It would have taken six today. Because they're not CGI heavy. They're quick, easy. The studio's just going to pump them all out.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Okay.
Could I throw out another hypothetical here?
Go ahead.
Sure.
How much did Indiana Jones pull as a history professor?
How much did he pull?
No, how much of the box office?
Oh, like how?
No. I mean, like as a teacher. How? I mean, like, the ladies looked interested.
I don't know, $20,000 a year, probably.
Okay, that's not what I meant exactly.
Yeah, I don't.
I think Chris like half heard.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, we can move on.
All right. I just get the shaft then. Sorry, it's a huge moment in Tokyo Drift right now.
Oh Lord.
did Han die?
No, we're not even close to that yet.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
That's next week, Sam. God.
Sorry, I just watched this, so it's fresh in my mind.
Anybody else have any more questions about this movie that we would like to discuss?
Final thoughts?
Did this make anyone want to become an archaeologist?
A little.
It definitely, for me, I was like, kind of want to be an archaeologist now. Granted, that's not archaeology at all.
No, God, no. Like, I remember being at, like, in college and being like, wait, I have to grid off everything and then categorize everything. Right. This is too much work, man.
Did we take that class together? Grid shit?
No, I took a lot of anthropology classes and all of them, like the ones that were like on ancient cultures were like, you have to grid everything off and then you have to grid everything in like the x-axis, the y-axis and the z-axis, and you have to write exactly where you found everything. I'm like, I just want to dig, man.
Yeah.
I just want to shoot the guy with the sword.
Right? I want to box that Nazi and be like, oh no, there's a propeller behind you. I mean, that's all I want.
Life's a bitch, huh?
When I saw this movie, I think I saw this movie right when Jurassic Park was kind of coming out. And Sean, you and I were big into dinosaurs at that time.
Oh, yeah.
So I think this didn't, you know, move me away from wanting to be a paleontologist. So,
no. Yeah.
Granted, that didn't go anywhere either, but still.
But it was kind of cool being like, you can go all these places and find cool things. And like, hey, it's kind of like what a paleontologist does. You go places and find dinosaurs, right? So it's like, oh, I could do both. I'm 7.
Yeah, it's never that exciting. It's never that exciting in real life.
No.
Shit's just buried somewhere.
Yep.
It's not held by a foreign guy that you need to, you know, chop up with a propeller that we've already mentioned.
It's literally going to your backyard and be like, hey, an arrowhead. And people be like, cool. And that's the end of it.
Your rival will never be this evil French guy who's constantly like, whatever you possess, I shall take.
There won't be some secret society protecting the freedom of thought type thing like the Assassin's Creed movie.
Can I mention something? How much The Mummy rips off this movie?
The original? The Brendan Fraser one?
Yeah.
That's not the original, but...
Well, right.
I don't think it rips it off so much.
I don't know, you have that, like, secret society that's protecting it, who start off as the bad guys, but then turn out to be the good guys. But
it's the same concept in style, in a sense that with The Mummy, you hear all of those, like, punching, slapping sounds.
Yeah, Mummy's another one that takes from the, like, pulpy adventures from the 30s.
Yeah, I don't think it's anywhere near that. And even then, the the way into which it's filmed is just so much different.
Can I interject really for a second here? Because I just looked this up today. Because initially we were going to do Aliens for this podcast. So I watched it, then IMDb'd Michael Biehn. How many Scorpion King movies are there, Sean?
Scorpion Kings? I believe Scorpion. There's four.
Okay, Sam.
Well, I was going to say three, but when Sean said four, I was like, ooh. Let's go with six.
Okay.
I think there's four as well.
There are four, and Michael Biehn is in the fourth one.
Yes.
Is he really?
He is.
Okay.
That's what he's doing.
I cannot wait to do this Michael Biehn discussion next week.
Let's just do it now. No.
We're going to tease it. We have to tease this, because this is like a 20-minute discussion.
A lot of horror.
I think that the topic I pose to you guys via text is a huge, debatable topic. I think it
40 minutes.
Huh?
We could do aliens, or we could just do that topic.
I don't know. Do you agree that we can go very in deep with that discussion? Those two actors together.
I just told you it could be a 20-minute discussion.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry, I thought you meant 40 minutes, but
it's never mind.
No. All right. We'll discuss that. Aliens is going to be our next con classic.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Whether or not that's next week is unknown, but at some point in the near future, we'll be doing a cons classic for Aliens. I think next week are we going to try and do kind of a normal-ish?
Yeah, there has been enough news where we can do a normal episode next week.
We could talk Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, that's right. I can't wait. They're meeting with the Japanese mob right now, Sam.
Ah, all right.
Yeah, sorry. Great movie.
Oh, is this the first time we meet the uncle?
How
did I find out your friend was stealing from you? Also, why am I dressed like a gangster from the 1940s?
We're talking about every movie but the one we're assigned our...
Yeah, yeah. All right.
So I think just to wrap this one up, you know, I find these movies just so, like, charismatic. Like, fucking Harrison Ford, just fucking great job, man. Sean Connery brings the heat. Even our side players and Denholm Elliott, and I forget the other guy's name. John Rhys Davies.
Yeah.
Gimli,
to those who know the Lord of the Rings movies.
Right. So happy to see those guys again, man. Those guys are great guys.
Yeah.
Also, remember, Dan Aykroyd is in this trilogy. I don't think people realize that.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he the...
He's in Temple of Doom.
Yeah. Isn't he like the car driver or something like that? Yeah.
That dumb.
God, I forget that movie. I really don't watch that movie by choice anymore.
No, nobody does.
Well, so right. Also, we're never going to do the Temple of Doom one. The other thing here, Temple of Doom prequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark. Good night.
Yes. That is true. It is a prequel. All right. Yeah. Any final thoughts?
God, I love this movie.
It's a great movie. It really is a great movie.
That's Tokyo Drift, by the way. Not
Last Crusade. No. I'm talking Last Crusade.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking Last Crusade. Once Sam's done watching, we're going to do a ranking of all the Fast and Furious, but no, Last Crusade, just as a whole.
Yeah.
I forget. So everyone's rankings real quick.
Okay. Yeah, what do you give this?
But a massive gap between 2 and 4.
Well, okay, of the series, like, how do you rank the series? So it'd be like, for me, it would be 3, then 1, then 2, then 4. Massive gap between 2 and 4.
Yeah, I go Crusade, Ark, Raiders, and then the, whatever that was.
Me too, but, like, Raiders is right behind Crusade.
Yeah.
It's not like, far.
There's not a lot of daylight between those two.
Yeah.
I give it to Crusade because it's the first one I watched.
Crusade.
I think the bad guys are much better in Raiders.
No, I agree. But like I said earlier, I've referenced this movie a lot more than Raiders. A lot more. In my everyday life.
The French guy alone has more quotes than like this entire movie.
I didn't say like quotes. I don't quote this movie. I reference it.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't Family Guy do a Raiders?
I don't know.
Parody?
Maybe.
They do a parody, because I remember Peter Griffin standing on the with the staff.
Oh yeah, I forget what it was.
Yeah, and Peter Griffin's like handled by top men.
Yeah,
and then
no, you know. No, that's somebody else. That's like somebody dies and they put him in a box. Who the fuck is it?
That's not Peter Griffin, is it?
It's not. I don't think it's the chicken.
No.
He just says top men, and then they end the episode like
that. Yeah, I remember Woods. That episode.
Is it James Woods? Maybe
it's James, maybe it's James, sure Woods. James Woods.
Yeah, it could be James Woods.
But, yeah, I mean, it's... Because
he follows, he's like, ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, and then they lead him into the box.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Raiders is definitely a very, pop culture-wise has been referenced a lot. I'm saying in my personal life, I have referenced The Last Crusade more between, you know, like, you chose poorly or wisely, or even like, you know, we're getting an update on Tokyo Drift.
Folks, for viewers at home, they're driving fast.
And they're swerving and still driving fast. And oh no, there's traffic now. And anyway,
oh, they're swear. Driving traffic, Chris?
This is where Hong gets it. This is where Hong gets
it.
Yeah. Dude, don't give it away.
You've all seen this movie.
Anyways, I've referenced this, like, between that or like the, you know, the Cup of Carpenter kind of thing, like with games that we've played. Like, I reference this movie a lot.
But you chose wisely thing, I think, is...
Oh, yeah, by far.
Is what's carried from this movie.
Yeah, easily. I feel like everybody... If you say that in a setting, everybody's like, Indiana Jones. Like, everybody gets it. Because, like, it's such an iconic, like, part of the movie. So... All right.
The Raiders South Park episode, fantastic. Like, I couldn't... It's a Herculean task to do a top 10 episodes for them, but it's got to definitely be in the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, what was in the box? I forgot, in the South Park episode.
It's they redid Raiders.
That's right. Where like, yeah, it's all about them, like, doing things with Indy.
Like how they did with Star Wars and E.T. and they took out the guns and put in walkie-talkies.
And how, like, they did that fake ad in the middle of the episode about how they redid this first season with, like, more do-backs and stuff like that.
Right, yeah. Exactly. More size of space for it, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a great episode. All right.
See, by the way, CGI still stands up.
Yeah.
Like, the thing where the guy disintegrates is...
Oh, yeah, it's phenomenal.
I mean, you know, it looks dated, but it looks fine.
Yeah. And a lot of the action sequences, all the stunts, are done, like, well. Like, it's not CGI. Like...
Right. Yeah, it's all a lot of practical. Yeah. Almost entirely, yeah.
Yeah, and it looks nice. Like Sam brought up earlier, the tank scene. Like, that tank scene is awesome. Like, where he's, like, on the side. What was that, John?
I wonder
how many fake tanks they had to build for the movie.
Right?
They probably only had budget for one.
No, they had they definitely had a high budget.
I would think you'd have two, but...
Yeah. After really? The first two movies...
They'll be curious to have budget. To look up, too.
They actually used the, like, 1910, like... All right. Well, do we have special outro music, or is it just...
No, I don't have anything
synced. We're going to tease next week.
Let me tell you, I love at the end of this movie when the fucking theme plays and they ride off in the horses. Oh, what a phenomenal way to end the movie series.
Yeah, and all four stunt doubles are riding away. Sorry, I didn't mean to end it on that note, but it is all four of the stunt doubles are riding away.
John Connery ain't riding a horse.
No way. I mean, that was like, that was a good 15 years before League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, so.
True. That's true.
All right, Chris, gun to your head. This movie, which 89 Sean Connery movie? This movie or Hunt for Red October?
Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, good boy. Good guy.
Good boy.
That's
a good boy.
Which is odd, given that this is the classic over Hunt for Red October. But
That's 1990. Sorry.
We can discuss it at a different time.
All right, well, teasing, on that note.
Teasing next week. Next week. Are movie theaters dead? As we've known it.
All right.
I'm serious. I'm serious. You keep thinking about all these movie theaters and stuff and how long this is going to last. A lot of these companies can't hold up.
All right.
Plus, Sam's review of Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, and maybe there will be another movie review. Who knows? But there's been plenty of news that we can talk about. But that's all next week. So tune in next time, I guess. Nice of Nerditude. Podcast for all things nerd. You can find us on Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes, Facebook.com/Knights of Nerditude. Leave us a message. Let us know if there's anything you want us to review. We gladly will. We're always listening, especially in this time. And I hope everybody stays safe and healthy. And everybody have a good night.